I'm Jim Getchess. Lauren and I do not have any disclosures. The purpose of our research is to examine the association between mental health status and level of disaster preparedness using data from the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance Survey, which is managed by the Centers for Disease Control. We know that in general, Americans are not prepared for disasters. A 2007 survey of individual and household preparedness in the United States found that only 34% of Americans have started to take action to prepare by gathering a supply of food, water, other preparedness supplies, and creating an emergency communications plan. And among those respondents, 43% are not planning to do anything to prepare. In addition, a national survey conducted in May of this year by the Adelphi University Center for Health Innovation found that 53% of respondents were not prepared with a 3-day supply of food and water. Despite a lack of widespread action, there is a general expectation that being prepared with supplies and a plan may mitigate the negative impacts of a disaster. We also know that exposure to trauma, such as disasters, increases the risk of adverse mental health outcomes. Lifetime exposure to potentially traumatic events for the general population is relatively high at 60 to 90%. Recent studies have shown that post-traumatic stress disorder has a prevalence of 30 to 40% for those directly exposed to disasters and 10 to 20% for response workers. This is a marked increase over the prevalence that's found in the general population of only 8%. We also know that vulnerable populations, such as those with chronic disease, mental illness, and physical disabilities, are at increased risk of adverse outcomes following disasters for a variety of reasons, including challenges associated with evacuation or a need for specialized medical services during times when healthcare systems may be disrupted. Furthermore, medically vulnerable populations are less likely to be prepared than their healthy counterparts, and people with disabilities, while more likely to report that they are prepared, are in fact less likely to have preparedness supplies than those without disabilities. Efforts in recent years have focused on increasing preparedness for disabled populations. Particularly, we've seen increased efforts in providing shelters for those with access and functional needs. However, there has been less focus on preparedness efforts for those with chronic conditions or with mental health issues. To address this gap, we focused our research on those with mental health issues or mental distress. Our research question was to determine whether those with poor mental health are more or less prepared for disasters than individuals without poor mental health. We hypothesized that those with poor mental health are in fact less prepared than those without poor mental health. To conduct our analysis, we used data from the 2007 and 2009 administrations of the BRFSS, a CDC-funded data set collected annually at the state level about public health behaviors. Each year, the CDC designates a core set of modules to be collected by every state and a set of optional modules that individual states can elect to administer based on their priorities. We were interested in two optional modules, the general preparedness module and the mental illness and stigma module. There were only three states that administered both of these optional modules in the same year. Louisiana and New Hampshire administered them in 2007, and Mississippi administered them in 2009. The general preparedness module asked questions about whether households have an emergency evacuation plan, a 3-day supply of food, water, and medication, a battery-powered radio, and a flashlight with working batteries. Consistent with past research, we computed a summary measure of preparedness that included having a 3-day supply of food and water, a battery-powered radio, and a flashlight with batteries. We held having a 3-day supply of medication and an evacuation plan out of the summary measure because not everyone requires a supply of medication, and a strong case has been made by Eisenman and colleagues that the evacuation plan is qualitatively different from the other preparedness measures because it requires the entire household to be involved in developing the plan. And we also believe that it is the only action that is taken solely for disaster preparedness and wouldn't coincidentally also be in place for other reasons. The mental illness and stigma module includes six questions that make up the Kessler 6 scale, a validated measure of serious psychological distress. The six questions ask about the frequency that a respondent has felt nervous, hopeless, restless or fidgety, so depressed that nothing would cheer them up, that everything was an effort, and worthless in the past 30 days and is measured on a Likert scale. We use standardized scoring to compute the Kessler 6 score for each respondent. A score of 13 or higher indicates that a respondent has serious psychological distress. The screener has a total classification accuracy of 92%. I'll now be followed by Lauren.
Thanks, Jen. To examine differences in demographics, we computed chi-square and t-tests. To examine differences between demographics and our preparedness and mental health measures, we did chi-square and t-tests. And to investigate the association between mental health and preparedness, we conducted a logistic regression model, adjusting for possible confounders. All of our analysis was completed in SPSS 19, accounting for complex sampling, design, and weighting. In our sample, we found that 53.1% of our population were prepared, based on that summary measure of preparedness. 29% had an evacuation plan, and 91.2% had a 3-day supply of medication. And the overall prevalence of SPD, or serious psychological distress, in our sample was 5.6%. And as Jen mentioned earlier, about half of the population has taken some preparedness measures, such as getting food and water. Our sample had a similar result, with 53% taking some measures. We found that 29% of people have an evacuation plan. This is actually a little bit lower than the national average. We actually looked at the BRFSS general preparedness module for all 14 states that have ever administered it. And for those 14 states, only 21.2% of people had an evacuation plan. And then that same analysis of all 14 states showed that 89.7% of respondents had a 3-day supply of medication, which is similar to our 91.2%. Where our sample was quite different was regarding SPD. We found that our sample had 5.6% prevalence, but when looking at the 2009 National Health Interview Survey, which also used the Kessler 6, they only had a 3.2% prevalence of SPD. We don't find this very surprising, given that much of our sample lives along the Gulf Coast and has Mississippi and Louisiana have a higher chronic disease burden than other states. And when looking at our demographics by mental health, and here we're showing those who have SPD on the left and those who don't on the right. We found that the mean age of those with SPD is on average about 3 years younger than those without SPD. We found that respondents with SPD have lower incomes than those without, and that among those with SPD, 43.4% make less than $15,000 per year compared to those without SPD. When looking at education, we saw that respondents that didn't graduate from high school are more likely to have SPD than those that have graduated from college. And among those that are married, we have found a prevalence of 3.4% for SPD. And then when looking at SPD across all of the not married categories, we found that the prevalence of SPD was 8.5%, with the highest being actually in the separated category with 19.4% prevalence. And of those who are employed, only 2.6% have SPD. This is much lower than when looking at those who are not employed, which you see is 8.1%, and those that are retired, which is only 3.1%. And finally, females have a higher prevalence of SPD than males. When looking at our demographics by preparedness, and here we're showing the summary measure of preparedness with prepared on the left. Our findings reinforce past disaster research that demonstrates that education level and female gender are associated with higher levels of preparedness. However, our findings differ regarding the association between income and marital status and preparedness level. We found a higher prevalence of preparedness in respondents with lower incomes. This might be attributed to people with lower incomes having past adverse experiences with disasters, thus encouraging protective measures, especially again since much of our sample resides on the Gulf Coast. We found that among those who are married, 51.1% are prepared. And this is in line with previous research that suggests being married is associated with a higher level of preparedness. But what was interesting is that in our sample here, a larger proportion of respondents in the not married categories reported being prepared. And so these categories include divorced, widowed, separated, and never married. This was surprising, and we think maybe has something to do with state-level differences, which we plan to look into. And our analysis shows that for gender, males are less likely to be prepared than females. So in looking at the association between preparedness and SPD, we found overall that an increase in your Kessler 6 score, or having serious psychological distress, is associated with a decrease in your preparedness. Here we're showing the odds ratios for the summary measure of preparedness, unadjusted on the left, adjusted on the right. So for the summary measure, respondents with SPD are 38% less likely to be prepared for each one unit increase in their K6 score. We found that for the three-day supply of medication, respondents with SPD are 39% less likely to be prepared for each one unit increase in K6 score, and both of these findings were statistically significant. Regarding evacuation plan, we only found a borderline statistically significant association, as P equals 0.08. All of these models have been adjusted for age, income, education, marital status, sex, race, and employment status. So what does all of this mean? The people are unprepared. People who are unprepared are more likely to be male, have higher incomes, and lower education levels. And SPD prevalence was found highest for respondents who have less income and education and who are not employed or married and who are female. And that overall an increase in mental distress measured by the K6 score is associated with a decrease in the likelihood of preparedness. Here on the slide, we've summarized for the summary measure of preparedness, the 38% increase. So past research has already shown that those with poor mental health are at increased risk of adverse outcomes following disasters. And what our study here contributes is that not only are they at increased risk for poor outcomes, they're also starting off less prepared than the general population. So they've got two things working against them. So what does this mean? We think that the implications of this are that there needs to be a recognition sort of in the emergency manager public health community that this population is especially at risk. We think that some things that can be done to address this include targeting risk communication messaging, both in non-event times and when there's a disaster looming. We also think that the channels for these messages need to be more diverse. We want to have emergency management and public health professionals communicating this message, but we also think it's important for mental health and primary care providers to be including this information in their regular routine interactions with people who have mental distress. We also think that it's important, given some of the possible state-level differences, which we're starting to investigate now, that promotion in a disaster-prone area, such as along the Gulf Coast, would be extremely important. So there are limitations, as our colleague here mentioned with the BRFSS. We specifically wanted to highlight the sampling does rely on only landlines. That has changed sort of in recent years. They're starting to do cell phone calling, but for our analysis in 2007 and 2009, that was only landline phones. And also, we rely on self-reported data, so we're limited by the ability of respondents to both understand the questions in the modules and to answer them truthfully. We would have loved to be able to go into people's homes and look around and see their disaster supplies to confirm that they're there. We would love to have a clinician who is able to administer a full clinical assessment, but we are relying on the screener. And the Kessler 6 is validated with a 92% classification accuracy, so that's exciting, but a limitation. We also were limited by the basic preparedness questions included in the general preparedness module. Were we able to develop our own questions, we would have liked to learn more about maybe the stage of behavior change that respondents were in, or about the broader factors, maybe such as social support at play. So future research, as I've mentioned already, we'd like to look at the state-level differences, see what might be different between Mississippi, Louisiana, and New Hampshire. We also think that we would like to see some research that focuses on validating the general preparedness module questions to make sure that those are the most relevant factors for measuring, assessing someone's preparedness for a disaster. To date, there's been little empirical support that having a kit means very much. And so much of our national policy is based on, you know, the ready.gov messaging of having a kit being prepared. So we think that investigation of this, the module questions, would add further support to that continuing funding in that area. We would also like to see a longitudinal investigation of preparedness within vulnerable populations so that we can learn more about how preparedness influences their disaster experience, explore how preparedness might tie in with as a bridge to sort of long-term recovery planning. These are our references, and we're holding questions for the end.